Hey everybody, Derek here with Red Shirts and Runabouts. So, little change of plans. The original plan was we were going to release an episode where Greg and I were going to talk about our thoughts kind of concerning the return of Picard. Patrick Stewart, of course, announced at Star Trek Las Vegas last weekend that Picard is returning, Jean-Luc is returning in a new series, and we were very excited to talk about that and speculate and come up with different ideas and thoughts and discuss, you know, where we think the character of Picard may be for this show. But due to some technical glitches, we are going to push that till next week. So next week we'll be talking all about Picard and Patrick Stewart and his announcement and new show. So what we have for you today is something kind of fun. I was able to talk with and interview three lovely people who attended Star Trek Las Vegas 2018, and I was able to talk to them about their different experiences for, you know, 15, 20 minutes apiece. So we got three different interviews set up here, three very different perspectives, three different people with different goals and things like that. So we'll be talking about the panels they went to, actors they may have seen, social events that they did, their perspectives on certain things, and I'll also ask them a bit about how they feel concerning the return of Jean-Luc Picard. So I hope that you enjoy all of that. If there's any audio, you know, glitches or issues, I apologize. These people were all on their phones, and so it's not the exact same recording format that you may be used to here on Red Shirts and Runabouts, but I hope that you enjoy it. So let's switch over. All right. Hi, everybody. So I am here with Shannon, and she is here to talk a little bit about her experience at Star Trek Las Vegas this year. Shannon, before we dive into the convention, first, of course, thank you for joining us on the show.
Okay.
But why don't you introduce yourself, tell people about you, who you are.
Okay. I'm Shannon Favre. I'm a lawyer. So I know that some people are like, because my Twitter thing is Favre Law. So I've had people like, but you're a lawyer that and post about Star Trek and the law. I'm like, yes, because that's pretty much my life. It's Star Trek and being a lawyer and, you know, being a mom too. But that's pretty much those three things. That's pretty much all I do.
I imagine that being a lawyer probably keeps you pretty busy.
Yes. But I work for myself, so I can do things like take off for a few days and go to the convention, or this year took off and went to the cruise for a few days, that kind of thing.
So before we dive into the convention, then I have to know, how was the cruise?
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun. Now, I know people get a little upset because I'm one of the people that got to go for $300 because they had extra room. I didn't pay thousands of dollars, but it was way worth $300. But I mean, I think it was probably worth the higher price too. I just couldn't justify it to myself to go, you know, in January and then go to the convention in August.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was looking at it when the tickets were down to about that range you were talking about. But I went to WonderCon, which is a Anaheim, California convention that's in March. And so those were really close together.
Yeah.
And so I could not do both. But did you have a good time on the cruise? I imagine it's just kind of like a Star Trek convention on a boat.
It was, and I love my clients, because some of my clients actually got a hold of Brad to K for me, and so I got to meet George and Brad.
Awesome.
I got to hang out with them, and I went jogging or walking every morning with George, and it was really nice.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys talk about anything that, you know, like any like dream conversations that you would have wanted to have with him?
Well, he was very funny because he's like, okay, so how do we know you? Well, my clients called your husband. He's like, okay, who are your clients? I'm like, well, it's for the marriage equality case. He's like, oh, okay. And then for 2 hours, we just talked about stuff. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like a really cool dude. I was able to meet him briefly at a convention here in Kansas City a few years back. But, you know, it was a convention, so you only have a minute or two. So, so yeah, you got to talk to him a lot.
Yes. And then his husband is really, really nice.
That's what I hear. I've never met Brad, but I've only heard good things. So.
Right. Well, as I told Brad, I actually emailed him before the convention. I'm like, I know it's a George show, but, you know, I'm happy to hang out with you too if you have time.
So, aside from getting to hang out with George Takei, what was your favorite part of the cruise?
Actually, it was just getting to see all the, Trekkies with there's no interruption. There's not like people are going off to look at their stuff. Everybody's there, and it's different people than go to the convention, because of the price thing, a lot of people can't do both. So you see people like there, but I know people that were there that were friends of mine that I never saw because there were so many people.
That's pretty
Like, it's not
cool.
like you can call them and say, oh, I'm going to be blah, 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 because the phones don't work. Like, your
Right.
cell phone doesn't work on the boat. So.
That would probably stress me out a little bit, but I have a
That's
problem.
okay, but you just make new friends, just like the Star Trek convention.
Well, so let's talk about Star Trek Las Vegas. So this was not your first time, right?
No, I went to the 50th, and I had such a good time. I've been, since then. So this was my third one.
That's fantastic. So since the 50th was your first, obviously that was a big anniversary for the franchise, right? Is
Well, it's my
that
first of one of these. I've been to conventions before, but yes.
so what got you to make the decision to finally go to Star Trek Las Vegas?
Well, because it was the 50th, I flew to Destination Star Trek when it was in London because that was all five captains. I hadn't been to convention, and this tells my age. I'm 47, so I hadn't been to convention since I was in high school. So I had to go to the one in London because, all five captains were there on stage at the same time. And then, so like, 3 years later, they were talking about the 50th anniversary. I'm like, oh, well, I have to do that. If I flew to London, I have to be able to go to Vegas.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Seeing the five captains together must have been pretty cool.
It was, and apparently it was the first time they've ever been on stage together. They've been at conventions at the same time, just not all together.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense that, because they have to do their show panels, and then they usually would have something individual as well. So I'm sure their schedules get pretty busy. So you went to Star Trek Las Vegas this year. Do you cosplay when you go? Because cosplay is huge.
I've done it the first year I did it, last year I didn't really do it, and this year I did it again. Somehow I went from having one costume to three costumes to seven costumes for a 5 day convention.
Yeah, I've been there. I'm a bit of a cosplayer myself, so I totally understand. What were some of the cosplays that you wore during the convention?
Okay, well, I make up my own because that way you don't have to stay in character. So I can't do Jayla's makeup right because I just can't. So I was Shayla. I'm Jayla and Scotty's daughter. Don't do the wig or any of that stuff. I just do the white face with the black on it, and then, in a Star Trek and a Starfleet costume, and I go with that way. People generally recognize that it's supposed to be Jayla.
Right, yeah, she kind of stands out.
Yeah, so then I tell him, like, no, I'm not Jayla. I'm Shayla. Because the first time I did that was 2 years ago, right after the movie was out. And somebody's like, is that in the movie? I'm like, no, that's totally not in the movie. It did not hook up in the movie. I made that up.
That's pretty fun. Any other cosplays
Yes,
that you
I have
did?
one. I found a military jacket that definitely looks like a Navy jacket, and it's long enough if it's a dress on me. So I have fairy ears that are blue. So I'm an ambassador from a water planet to the One World Navy, and it has all these pins from all the different planets I've served on.
Nice.
So this year I even put a Mirror Universe one on it.
Oh, there you go. That was a big theme this year.
Yes, and I was even a Mirror Universe sub commander from the original series. So I have a picture of me and the person I was who was not the Mirror Universe. We're the same actress, basically. And so we have a picture of us on the bridge of the Mirror Universe yelling at each other. So.
See, that's fun. That's why I love cosplay, right? You never know who else you're gonna bump into. And
Yeah.
that's fantastic.
And it was a lot of fun. And like I said, but I've also gone, last year I went in like jeans and t-shirt the whole week.
Yeah, going casual is nice, right? Because then you don't necessarily get stopped every few feet for photos or feel that kind of pressure to pose in certain ways or act a certain way.
Well, that's why I don't like to be a character that's actually there. So I don't have to cosplay as a character because then I don't have to be in character. Like if you're Data, you have to be Data all day.
That could be tiring, I would imagine.
Yeah,
I
because
do.
Eric, everybody knows Eric because he's always on Eric Hall. He's always doing it. Last year I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm functioning within my normal parameters." Like, Eric, how are you doing? He's like, "Oh, I'm fine, thanks."
Yeah, I have a buddy who, when we cosplay, we don't do the role playing part as hard just because we're not good at it. And but one of our friends is, and he does Spock, and he's
Oh.
very much stays in character, which probably wouldn't stand out as much if the rest of us joined in. But it's all good.
Oh, did you see the guy that did Volk this year?
No, I
You
missed that.
didn't?
No.
Well, he was only there on, oh, I guess Saturday. He was there when they were on stage. He won the costume contest.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that up then.
Yeah. He was really good and like down to the teeth. Like he was like he spent hours, I'm sure, doing that because the whole thing.
Unfortunately, I did not attend, so all of my news basically comes from
Oh,
Twitter or
sorry.
Trekcore, so.
Well, actually, it's on Trekcore. They have pictures of the co I'm on there actually. They have pictures of some of the cosplayers,
Okay, I'll have
but
to
they have my
check
costume wrong because they say I'm Jayla and I'm not.
that out. Fair enough.
But I actually go to the convention to hang out with the other fans.
Right. So, are there like specific? Like, do you have like a group of people who you specifically meet up with, or is this very much just meeting people while you're there at various locations, just being social?
It depends on the day. Because like when I first went, I didn't know anybody. So the first night I didn't really talk to anybody, and then I met somebody who's now she's actually now a podcaster, but she has like a group of people that hang around her, and so I'm like, but I introduced myself to her because she's sitting by herself. And so I know her and her people, and then I meet other people. Like this one guy was who'd never been before. He was a tardigrade, and so
That's
I
fun.
went up to him and I ended up hanging out with him and his husband a lot this week. And I introduced them to everybody that I usually hang out with since they didn't know anybody. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So then, so do you really focus on the social aspects of it, right?
Yeah.
So do you are there like get-togethers or parties or events that are kind of tangential to the convention that you like to do?
I hadn't before. This is the first year I've done all this stuff. Last year I just hung out. This year I went to the fan sets party. I went to one of the podcast parties. We do go out once. Last year and this year we go out to dinner one night when just so that we can get out of convention. Some of the same people. We try to get out and we like pick a restaurant and get out and be able to talk without, being at the convention. So that's nice too.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you go to any panels? Did you get to see any of the actors
Did
or writers or?
I like last year I didn't do a lot of panels, but this year I tried to get all of the Discovery ones, but I missed. They keep expanding the convention. Like last year I didn't go on Wednesday, and then all Discovery people came out. So this year I came Wednesday and I left Sunday afternoon, and I missed some of the Discovery panels. Like okay, try to make it so you have to go all 5 days, I guess.
Think that's the
Right.
goal.
So I missed a couple of them at the very end, but I always do whatever the Shakespeare panel is. It's always a lot of fun. It's the women in Trek stuff. That's always a good time because I know a lot. I know the women that run those, plus the stars now join. So that's nice too.
So tell me about this Shakespeare one. I don't think I'm familiar with it.
Okay. I can't remember the name of it last year, really this year, but last year was like Shakespeare in the original Klingon. So last year they read some Shakespeare in Klingon, and then they talked about that kind of thing, which was very funny. This year it was more of like the themes of it. Star Trek and how they transcend, and I'm really butchering that, I'm sure. But they had Mary Sheffo and like come on, and of course she can switch back and forth between
Right.
Klingon English as they're reading stuff,
Yeah,
which is very impressive.
she's definitely owned the Klingon character, Laurel. That's
I know, and I didn't get to meet her last year, and because I didn't realize the actors were still there when I came in late, and so on. Saturday, I said, "Who's this girl?" Because we're at the bar and everybody's like talking to her. I'm like, "Who is that?" They're like, "She's one of the actresses." I'm like, "I had no idea who she was at that point." Yeah,
Well, she
but
is
now she can't walk
also
5 feet, without.
well, right. But it's hard to recognize her, right? Because she's in all the prosthetics and everything, and
Yeah,
she looks pretty different than Laurel in real life.
but she's
So,
also like a 6 foot tall person, which makes a big difference. Most of the actresses are like, I'm 5'4". Most actresses are smaller than me. Yeah.
oh, really?
Yeah, so she's an actual like 6 foot tall, so she's very you can pick her out anyway, even without all the prosthetics. But yes. I mean she's awesome. I mean because it's have you have to see do we have any spoilers we need to worry about?
No, don't worry about any
Okay.
spoilers.
Because at first I didn't like her character because I thought she was torturing and then raping.
Right.
But that's not what happened.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then when you watch it again, I feel bad for her. The fact I can feel bad for her with all the prosthetics, like she said, the scene where he's laying in her arms, she was sobbing. Like, but you can't see that because she's got the prosthetics on. They were having to come dab underneath the prosthetics between takes.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of you know, her panels and stuff like that in interviews, and I really appreciate how dedicated she is to that. Not just the character, but the Klingon culture in the show. You know, she's really made it a point to understand it. And, you know, I'm not saying that's a requirement for actors, but it certainly helps, you know. So that's really cool.
Yes. And also, one thing I love about Discovery cast is they're interactive. I mean, there has never been a Star Trek that was during the time of social media, but, like, you tag them or you post stuff, and most of them will respond to it.
Yes, yeah, I've been lucky enough to have Anthony Rapp and Doug Jones like a couple of my tweets. So,
you know. Tilly tagged two of my things there on Sunday. I'm like, yes, awesome.
it's a good feeling, right? I'm not going to deny it.
No, it's not. I mean, no, it's not. Sorry, no, it's not. Like, sorry, I was talking to a podcaster before. He's like, I don't get it. It's like, because it's a big deal. He doesn't. Yeah, it's like, it is a big deal. I guess he hadn't had anyone do that yet, so he didn't get that.
It's a good feeling that, you know, they're actually out there reading what people are sending them and appreciating at least some of it, you know, which is great. So,
well, I got to meet Shahzad Latif. I think
really?
Is his name right?
Yes.
Well, I paid for it. Just so you know, as a little pointer, if you go to the auctions, if you buy the big banners, you get to go first before the gold people.
Ooh, interesting.
So I did that because I knew the only way I was going to get to see him. So I first made sure he was a Trekkie, and then I gave him a pet, a little beanie baby of a Targ. So he now has a Klingon pet.
that's cute. So yeah. So for anyone who is listening and doesn't know, so Shahzad plays Ash Tyler and Voke.
Yes.
So that's who that is. How was that interaction with him? What is he like?
Well, he was late. That wasn't his fault. The flight was late, but he came up. So he was very personable and, you know, but I'm like, okay, so do you like Star Trek? He's like, the Next Generation. I'm like, okay, this is a Targ and this is your pet in case you don't know. He's like, okay. That was the extent of it. But I mean, then when he's on the panel, some woman, you know, stands up to ask a question and she's like, okay, just so you know, you make me want to be a dirty old woman. He's like, okay, keep going. Like, really?
Well, you know,
you have to get used to that, I guess.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I don't know how I would react. So, what can I say?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, it's like I don't think a lot of. I'm sure they get hit on me, but not usually in front of 6,000 people.
Right. Yeah. One on one, I'm sure it's a little bit different. But you know, when you're in a big crowd like that, what are you going to say? You're on stage,
well,
right?
He just kind of laughed and kept going. Because I mean, what was he going to say? Okay, thanks. Yeah.
So what else did you get to do?
I never made it to the pool because we were too busy, you know, doing our stuff. For me though, I usually go to the M&M store, which I know sounds silly, but I get my kids presents when I'm out there.
Sure.
But no, mostly it's just, you know, okay, so this I know you're going to handle this later, but I happen to run the Ash Tyler poster thing, which is obviously back to my room, and walked right in right as Patrick Stewart walked out on stage. Cause I thought that was a surprise.
Oh.
He was there.
So yeah. Wait, so you left the room as he came out?
No, I left the room and happened to walk right in right when he came back out.
Oh, well that's good timing.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it was awesome because I'm like, I thought him being there was a surprise. I didn't realize that there was still a surprise.
Right. Yeah. So I was lucky enough that, somebody out there filmed the whole thing. So I was able to watch it on YouTube, but you were in the room. And
yes.
So to kind of give you some perspective and the listener some perspective on me here. So I grew up with TNG mainly and the TOS movies mainly. And really gravitated towards Voyager later because that was the first one that I could really watch at an age where I could really comprehend all the stories. But TNG has always kind of been my go-to, right? So
right.
I got kind of emotional watching the YouTube video, but you were in the room. So tell us what that experience was like.
Well, as I said, when we were off camera too, or off t- tape too, the rest of the weekend was like, were you in there? So you in there or you weren't in there? And like, apparently there was a huge division because it's like, oh, you were in there. So please tell me about it. But so I walked in right when he walked on stage, everybody's clapping. So like I said, I thought that was it. So I go and sit down and I couldn't tweet as fast as he was talking. You know? So he comes out and he starts talking about, you know, that basically I appreciate your roles, you know, cheering for him and stuff. And he's like, you know, Jean-Luc is back. And everybody stood up and started cheering. And he's like, whatever happens in the next 2 years, this was totally worth that. Okay. And then he went on to explain that, you know, the reason they're doing it is because of fans. Yeah. If it wasn't for us and us coming to conventions and us doing stuff, they wouldn't do it at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just being in the room, like the spontaneous, everybody stood up and cheered for him thing. It was awesome.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, he was only there for like 10 minutes. I mean, he was there, he met some of the other cast, like he met some of the Discovery cast, and he left. That was it. But the TNG people were all standing outside, like out in the hall, when he came off the stage. That's where the rest of the cast was. Mm. Like, oh, it was so awesome. And of course, as soon as it was done, I ran out to see one of my friends who I know is a big Patrick Stewart fan, and she was not in the room, so I found her because she was working at one of the booths and told her.
Oh, how does she take it?
She's like, well, somebody started telling her, but they weren't there. She's like, well, were you there? Okay, you tell me about it. So I told her about it. And then I started getting texts and phone calls from home. Like, my friends are like, why didn't you tell us? I'm like, it just happened. I don't know how you want me to tell you any faster. It just happened. Like, literally just happened.
Well, you know, news travels fast these days.
So. Well, I'm sure some of the stories were keyed up to go as soon as he came on stage, too.
Yeah, especially like, you know, StarTrek.com, I'm sure, was already set to go for that. So they just needed
a picture. Yeah, but it was awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to see it, though, because it was very cool. But the one thing you missed, like I said, was a spontaneous everybody up and cheering for him and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to watch because, I mean, the quality, somebody, you know, recorded it on their phone. And so it's, you know, it's a little grainy. The audio's not perfect, you know, or anything like that. And the CBS put out like an official cut of it, but it's only like 2 minutes of the 10. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that first, not realizing that somebody else had put up like the full version. And they edited that thing like seamlessly. Cause I got to watch the expanded version of that later.
Yeah. I saw the edited version. I'm like, I know there was more than that.
Right.
He was on stage longer than that.
So how do
but
you
there's
feel?
No, there's no script yet. There's nothing. He's like, they're still talking about it. That's, yeah. That's all we know. Is it 20 years from in the future? So 20 years from the last movie that he was in. Mm-hmm. He may not be in Starfleet. He may not be captain anymore. That's all he said. Really.
Yeah, not a whole lot of information, but just based on what you know, like how do you feel about it? Are you excited? Are you apprehensive?
I'm always excited to see him in anything. You know, yeah. I think he's one of my favorite actors. And I'll go see him no matter what he's in. I'm sure it will not be a crappy production, so it'll be fine.
Fair but, yeah. Enough.
I'm hoping, but so, you know, this is still in the future, which is good because some people complain about Discovery because we're going backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely love Discovery, but I am looking mm-hmm. forward to seeing more of the future of continuing on. I am looking mm-hmm. forward to that aspect of it just personally.
And see where they are 20 years later, where all the characters are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll
have to get caught up on the rest of the shows between now and then.
Time to start watching.
I'm just not all the way up there yet.
So we only have a couple of minutes left. What are there any other experiences or opinions or perspectives that you would like to share with anybody who maybe was not able to attend or has never attended Star Trek Las Vegas?
Well, I know for me, I've always been a Trekkie because I like the version of the future. Like, I'm a lawyer, so I like to have a nicer version of the future because reality sometimes is not the most fun thing. But honestly, I've gotten more into it during this administration mm-hmm. because I think I need something that I know is a good outcome, that we survive much worse, you know, than what's going on right now. Because we survived the eugenics war, you know, with Khan, so we'll be fine. But I think for me, that's the biggest takeaway and why I get like I told you, I went from one costume to 3 to 7 costumes this year because it's great to be around people who all have a good version of the future and everybody's trying to make the world a better place. You know, so that's, to me, that's the biggest takeaway from going to the conventions is to be around other people like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, that makes me want to go for sure. Not that I didn't want to go, but
But now you have
yeah,
to go.
that just reinforces it. My girlfriend and I, we're engaged and we're getting married next year, like the same weekend as Star Trek Las Vegas. So our plan is to go in 2020 for our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, you can't swing it to have it, in Vegas.
Unfortunately, too many of our family and friends, I think, would be angry with us if
Well,
we.
somebody got engaged. A couple got engaged on stage at the convention.
That would have been cool. Don't get me wrong, but I'm hoping 2020. I'm setting my sights on that. So
Well, if nothing else, they've released the cruise dates for 2020. It's the first week in March instead of January, so you could also do that one instead.
my birthday's in March, so
See, March 1st is the cruise for 2020. So.
that's perfect. Maybe I'll look into that. I don't know. We'll see. I've never been on a cruise,
I've only
so.
been on the Disney cruise and the Star Trek cruise, so I'm good to go either way.
Fair enough. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for sharing your experiences, not just at Star Trek Las Vegas, but the cruise and Destination London. If people, wanted to reach out to you and talk Trek with you or anything like that, can they? And if so, how?
They can find me on Facebook. It's just my name, it's Shannon Favre. Or they can find me on Twitter, which is Favre Law. So either one of those works.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again very much. I appreciate it. And we will talk to you again in the future, I hope. Okay, so hi everybody, it's Derek again, and this time I am here with Rebecca, also goes by Becca, from the Twitterverse. And Rebecca, I wanted to give you a chance to say hi to everybody and introduce yourself and kind of tell people a little bit about who you are and what got you to go to Star Trek Las Vegas.
Okay, hi guys. I'm so excited. I got a chance to go to SCLD last year for the very first time, and my best friend said, "Hey, let's take a road trip and go again this year." So we did, and we drove all the way from Texas to Las Vegas, and oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
That's awesome. That sounds like a good road trip. I don't think I've ever had a road trip quite that fun. So this being your second year and everything, I have to ask, do you cosplay when you go?
Yes, in fact, we entered the costume contest this year.
Oh.
We did, it was like this whole concept thing from a episode of Voyager called The Cloud. And my friend has a service animal that we dressed up as Captain Janeway. And we have this little wagon that helps out with, stuff and whatever. So my friend actually created like Voyager and made the wagon be Voyager, and my friend was Neelix, and I became the Nebula. From their coffee in that Nebula. Yeah. It was great.
That's fantastic. That's a lot of fun. That's very
Yes.
creative.
Well, it was super awesome because in my Nebula makeup, I had to get an autograph from Jonathan Frakes. And he looks up and he goes, "That's awesome." And then I walked down it was great. And then I walked down a couple paces to Marina Sirtis, and she looked at me and she knew me by name, and she goes, "Hi, Becca, you're bonkers. You know that, right?" It was just
I can hear
hysterical.
that. I can
Yes.
hear it in her voice.
Yes. It was hysterical. So.
So if she knew you by name, how does she know you by name? Have you met her before a few times?
Yes, I have, and I'm kind of in a group of girls that we go to different conventions and stuff, and get to see her as often as we can. We love her very much. So I went up, and I actually kind of went up. I think I went up every day because I kept forgetting autographs I was supposed to get for other people. It was crazy. So by like the second day, she knew who I was, and she goes, "Oh, you're bonkers." I think it was because of all the makeup on my face.
Sure, of course.
But yeah.
Well, so let's talk a bit about your experience then. So when you go to Star Trek Las Vegas, are you going for the actors, the panels, the social life? What's kind of your draw?
Oh my goodness. Really, it's a little bit of all of it. There really is just like this bubble of like you're visiting family, at least for me. I mean, it's like because there's really no ick, there's no hatred, there's no, oh, well, you're part of another fandom, so you're, blah. And, sorry. I was just, it's the whole experience, really. So, I hope that helps.
No, that's totally fine. No, everybody's different, right? Some people go, right. Specifically for the cosplay, or some people go specifically to get, autographs or something like that. So I like to ask and kind of see what, what your draw was. Did you go to any panels? Is that something you wanted to do?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, did you get to go to any panels or anything like that that you particularly found interesting?
Oh, yes. I went to the Women of Trek panel. And that was really cool because I enjoyed that. And then the funniest panel ever, for me anyway, was Frakes and Sirtis when they got to go up there together. And they're hysterical. Oh my God. But I really, really, really enjoyed the disco, the Discovery panel, the very last one, with Shaniqua Martin Green. And I mean, some things that she said were just like, oh my gosh, it was awesome.
Yeah, she's really cool. I was lucky enough to meet her here in Kansas City last year, and she's a delight. I guess my question would be, from that panel, what was kind of your big takeaway from it? What's something that really hit home for you that either she said or anybody else on the panel?
The thing that she said that really hit home and was like kind of an affirmation for me was that, and forgive me, I'm not quoting her, like quoting, it was just a paraphrase, but it's, we all need to be nice to each other. We need to show each other, we need to be an affirmation to one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to show each other, the value that another person has for, as a person, instead of just tearing each other down all the time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good sentiment, and just kind of based on what you're saying. So I guess the inclusive nature of the Star Trek community is probably a big draw for you, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. So what else did you get to do? Did you go do any of the social activities, kind of not, outside of the con or anything like that, that you thought were kind of highlights of your week / weekend?
unfortunately, it was not really doable to try to hit any of the extra social things for me this year. Unfortunately, I was having a little bit of some health issues, but next year definitely I will do that. I had been invited to go to the Gays in Space from another friend of mine, and I really wanted to go, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't do everything. There's just too much going on anyway for one person, I guess it's good and bad. It's good because it means there's always something to do, but it's bad because it means you're going to miss something, right?
Exactly.
okay. So, all right. So you met Jonathan Frakes, you met Marina Sirtis. Mm-hmm. Who else did you meet?
I met, I cannot say his last name correctly, so forgive me, the gentleman who played Odo.
Yes.
Yes. I met him and Nana Visitor and Linda Park and a whole bunch of others. I met them last year. And this year, the big draw for me as far as like going and getting autographs and stuff was Jonathan Frakes, because he was supposed to be there last year and something happened and he couldn't be. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I have a hardcover copy of the book Embody, and I wanted to have both he and Marina sign it, which they did, and they both personalized it, and it was really sweet. And I'm like, that is my biggest treasure from this convention. So
that's really cool. I have that in softback, so I know exactly what book you're talking about. That's a great thing to have them sign. That's a lot of fun.
Yes. It was actually kind of funny when I presented it to Jonathan after. He said, "That's awesome about my makeup." He asked me if I was going to have Marina sign it as well. I'm glad that I had my filter intact because my brain was going, "Duh," but I did not say that out loud. I just said yes, sir. And so
that's awesome. And you said you saw their panel, right? That was just the two of them.
Yes.
So what was that like? Because I've never seen just the two of them in a panel together.
Oh my Lord, dude, they're hysterical. Like, oh my God. I honestly cannot remember what she said, but at one point Jonathan was facepalming and trying to hide under the couch because of something that Marina had said. And I have pictures, like still pictures of, you know, like in sequence, from the time she was saying whatever it was through that entire little clip and the reaction, his reaction. I do remember she was talking about, you can't negotiate with a 2-year-old. And she believed in spanking children. And Marina just kind of goes off on her own, I think, and she said something about spanking, hitting, whatever. And I think it was at that point Jonathan was like, "I'm going to hide under the table now." It was like, wow. But anyway, they're hysterical. They really are. They're really funny.
That's good. They always seem to be, you know, in the group setting. I've just, you know, never had a chance to see the two of them just kind of, you know, by themselves. So that's fun. So we're a little tight on time here. So is there anything else that you did or got to see or hear that you think was just something really cool that you want to share with people?
I just honestly the entire experience. If you've never gone, and you know whether you're a huge Star Trek fan or you're just kind of going along with friends, I strongly encourage this particular convention because it really is like. You know, people are very kind to you. If you're a newbie and you have no clue what's going on, there's a bazillion people that will stop and not look at you like you're stupid, and they'll help you. And they'll, you know, they don't necessarily work for creation or whatever. Maybe it's just people, random people that are in cosplay or whatever, and they'll be happy to help you because it's like a big family, like I said. And I think that is just really what Trek is all about, to be honest.
That's fantastic. I think that's a great message and sets a good tone for anybody who doesn't know the con already. Like myself, I've never been to Star Trek Las Vegas. I've only been to Star Trek Mission New York, which is a very different kind of convention. So I do have to ask, you know, because of the big news from the convention, how do you feel about the announcement of Patrick Stewart returning as Picard in his own show?
Oh, dude, I was geeking out all over the place. Seriously, like, oh, I have to know. Oh, my God, what are they going to do? Yeah, I think it's great.
Awesome. So you're excited about it then, I guess.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Well, I'm asking everybody because I'm curious, you know, if anybody is, you know, apprehensive about it or anything like that. So the general consensus seems to be excited, though.
Yeah, well. I mean, as long as they're making new shows and it's keeping things fresh and whatever, you know, it's keeping, at least my point of view is that it's keeping, you know, Gene Roddenberry's initial, you know, brainchild alive, which, you know, is awesome. So I think that that's great.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. All right. Well, first off, Rebecca, Becca, thank you so much for joining us on the show here. I'm sure we'll have you on at some point in the future to talk in more detail when we have more time. But yeah. if people wanted to reach out to you and talk Trek with you, how might mm-hmm. people do that?
You can find me on Twitter under Becca, B-E-K-A-H, Boodles, B-O-O-D-L-E-S. That's my handle on Twitter. And I'm also on Facebook under my name, which is Rebecca, spelled the same way, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, Stark, S-T-A-R-K-S. And you can find me on either one.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Becca, for joining us. I'm glad you had a good time at the convention.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. We will talk to you later. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Hey, everybody. So it's Derek again, and I am here with our final guest interviewee for Star Trek Las Vegas 2018, and that is Marina. So Marina, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And yeah, we really appreciate it. It's always good to talk to other Trekkies and Trekkers. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell people a little bit about who you are and what got you to go to Star Trek Las Vegas?
My family came to the United States when both Deep Space Nine and Voyager were still on the air, were still running. So that was sort of the first thing that kind of caught my attention. I used to watch the television a lot because it tended to help a little bit with the language. Even though I already spoke English, it just could kind of, it made it more fluent. You know, it helped. But, you know, instead of, you know, soap operas or documentaries or anything, for some reason it was Star Trek that caught my attention, and it was just basically like being hit from all sides, because like I said, Deep Space Nine, Voyager was still there, the original series were nearly constantly on reruns on like the likes of PBS channels, and then of course I think BBC America had The Next Generation. So you know, it's like being shot out of four cannons immediately. And so I've been basically watching nonstop all throughout college. And I didn't start actually going to conventions until, I can't tell you exactly, until 2009. And it was just such a silly thing, because I figured, well, I've been basically an armchair Trekkie in terms of, you know, instead of going to conventions or getting involved with in fan clubs, I was subscribing to the Communicator, I was subscribing to various newsletters. So everything was kind of happening very much, you know, in written form or more certainly online. And I think it was one of the local conventions that just one of those flyers that caught my eye. It was headlined by Leonard Nimoy and Keith Mulgrew. And I'm like, well, why don't I go? And that kind of started the whole thing rolling, because the next step after that small local convention was Star Trek Las Vegas. I probably wouldn't have been able to go up until that point purely from financial reasons. I just graduated college and it wasn't exactly something that I could do. But I kind of, you know, I tried to pay all my student loans and I was like, well, that's it. I'm going to Vegas. And that was 2010. And I've been going every year since. So next year is actually going to be my 10th year of Star Trek Las Vegas anniversary. And I have to say, I mean, people sometimes ask me, you know, does it get repetitive? Because obviously, you know, many of the guests can only tell that many stories that many times. And I can probably at this point tell them myself using the same words. But it's still exciting, because now that I've gone so many times, there are just so many familiar faces besides the actors. It's actually the fans that make the whole thing so appealing. It's like having a giant family reunion. You know, I go through the convention corridor and it's like talking to 100 people while I'm trying to get from point A to point B, you know, going to photo ops. I'd get stopped, you know, 20 times saying hellos and how are you? And it's just really the people that I only see once a year at Vegas convention, many of them from all over the world. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to see each other anyway, because, you know, they all come from either Germany or from Australia, from, you know, from other countries. So that's kind of what got me started. You know, Star Trek caught me, and then finally I got to the point when I was ready to go to the conventions, and now I can't stop going to conventions, because, you know, it's Star Trek Las Vegas, and up until the last few couple of years, I've also been going to the smaller Star Trek conventions that Creation was putting on, and various Comic Cons as well. And it's very addicting, I must say. It's kind of just to start Well, I have to admit, for instance, this year I haven't had a convention since I think March or April. And by the time we were getting close to Stars of Las Vegas, I'm like, I'm almost having a convention withdrawal. I need to go to a convention. Yeah. So that's it. And between the Vegas conventions, because we do have an entire year to fill in, I'm very glad that we do have social media, because in this case, you know, it's not the awful part of it. It's actually the great part of it, because we can maintain the convention, the convention spirit going between the Augusts of the year. So I'm usually mostly on Facebook. Those people who are part of, like for instance, the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas group would know me. I'm actually one of the moderators. And I've been a guest at Shoreless Podcast that's on Tricorder Transmissions. And that's basically it. So Star Trek is really, it's not just, it happens once a year for me. I kind of try to constantly have my fingers, you know, seeing what's going on with all the news, and especially considering the most recent news. This year, Vegas certainly had quite an explosive moment, which I'm sure we'll talk about further. So that's basically a little bit about me.
No, that's awesome. So I think it's pretty safe to say that you've been more times than anybody else I've ever talked to. So I think you'll be able to provide a really good experience here. So now that you've been 9 times, do you have like a pattern or a game plan that you kind of cycle through each year, or do you try and mix it up?
You know, actually I do have a game plan. Once they release the schedule, I usually sit down and kind of try to figure out how the panels go first, which I suppose, you know, it differs for many different people. People come to conventions for different things. A lot of people come just to hang out with their friends. Others come purely for cosplay. Others do enjoy, because, you know, they haven't done conventions too many times, they enjoy meeting the guests and actually listening, sitting in on their Q&A panels. I've been so many times, I still enjoy going to the panels. You know, as I mentioned earlier, after a while, it does get a little bit repetitive, but I still enjoy meeting the guests. So I sit down and I look at the panels first. And then once I'm kind of, you know, familiar with the schedule, and now that Vegas is actually a 5-day convention, it actually does take several hours to kind of figure out what goes where. And, you know, realistically imagine, you know, can I really be in two places at the same time? And then I start sitting, you know, okay, there are some new folks that have never have been to a convention before, and I would really like to meet them, chat with them, maybe get their autograph. Can I fit that in into that between the panels? Same thing with the photo ops. This year, for instance, photo ops really, I kind of went a little bit overboard and my wallet is weeping. Considering that we've had this, San Diego did have majority of the Discovery cast, but so Vegas was more of a follow up for them. But for many of them, that was their very first Star Trek convention, purely Star Trek convention. So it was such a treat to actually have pretty much every single person from the cast, except for Michelle Yeoh and James Frain, who was supposed to be there, but unfortunately he canceled due to professional commitments. So it was like, you have literally 5 panels during Saturday and Sunday, and you can go and meet all these people. So I kind of went a little bit overboard, because I figured, hey, this is the first convention, it's way too exciting, and I'm going to just go and have pictures with all of them. I didn't do all of them. I just kind of reined myself in, but majority of them I did get photo ops. So it's that sort of thing where, you know, panels first, and then I see where I can fit in autographs and photo ops. And then, of course, the fan-organized events, which primarily happen after hours, parties. Like there is a party that is traditionally kind of sets off the entire weekend, if you can say so, because it technically happens the night before the convention opens. And that's the landing party organized by Larry Namicek. This year we also had a fan sets party and the Trek Geeks podcast. They organized the party. So parties that happen after hours, which also tend to get in conflict with other things that convention itself organizes. So it becomes a little bit of a tricky game. It's like, well, I'd really like to go there and there and there, and I have to pick out of 3 or 4 times. It usually takes me up about half a Sunday when, you know, right before leaving, I do Monday to Monday trip usually for a Vegas convention to just sit down and kind of pin it down. It kind of helps. Now, do I actually manage to hit all those points that I work out for myself? Generally, no. Something always comes up. Yeah, as I said, you know, sometimes it's like we have this great get together somewhere in Quarks and we're sitting down, we're talking, or there's a craft swap meet, or I decided the last moment I will go for that photo op. So I have to kind of change things around, and unfortunately you can't do 100% of everything.
No, there's way too much for a single person.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned cosplay. Do you cosplay when you're there?
I only uniforms. I have a Voyager uniform and the First Contact uniform, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to actually do any cosplay over the last 2 years. Sadly, my weight went up a little bit. So until I manage to get it down, I have to use my 50 t-shirts. So I still have yeah. choices in terms of representing track, but cosplay has to wait a little bit.
No, I've been there. I have a TNG uniform and a Beyond uniform, and they are both just a little too snug right now, I think.
Yeah. I have several friends who do unbelievable cosplay, and I admire that sort of dedication because it's just beautiful to see. I don't know if you've seen the photos from the costume contest this year. Mind-blowing stuff. It's incredible, especially considering that the judges are usually pretty tough in Vegas. So, you know, just wearing the uniform will not do. There's really, you know, you have pre-judging and you actually have to kind of apply and explain what you did with the costume beforehand. That it's very interesting to see because people, like, as I said, people come up with most amazing costumes every year.
Yeah, cosplayers are really incredible. You know, outside of Star Trek too, I'm involved with cosplay quite a bit, and some people just do amazing work. So for anybody out there who, you know, you make your own costumes or you source out all of these materials for these elaborate aliens and you do makeup work and prosthetics and all that type of stuff, just all the power to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I just throw a uniform on and a comm badge, you know. So
yeah, that's the extent of my my skills. And you know, the Voyager uniform, I got lucky. It's actually an Anovis uniform, so it looks amazing. It photographs beautifully. It's a command uniform, so I finally had a great photo op with Keiko Grew during the 50th anniversary. So I'm like, okay, I no longer have the poor man version from China. You know, I can actually, you know, look really good in the photograph and came out beautifully. The First Contact is actually one of the small outfits in China that would do custom costumes that turn out pretty decent. I mean, it looks, it's like you can, it's a recognizable First Contact uniform. I'd wish to go for something a little bit more elaborate, but that's unfortunately beyond both my means and just generally, you know, it is.
Oh yeah.
I think I'll just stick to those two for now.
I mean, if you wanted to, the Anovos, like the Wrath of Khan era uniform is like $2,000, you know?
Like, yeah, with all the, yeah.
If you got it, but, you know.
exactly.
So, okay, so you do go to a lot of the panels, though. You still are very interested in those?
Yes, yeah.
So what?
And I try to mix it up in terms of, I do both the Q&As of specifically guests, so the actors. I usually prefer to... Well, if there's somebody brand new, somebody we have never seen before, and it's for instance, this year, the entire Discovery cast. That was pretty fascinating to sit in and see, you know, how they basically see themselves as part of this entire fandom. And I also enjoy going to behind-the-scenes stuff, so the people from production side, the writers, the producers, the designers, the composers. That is fascinating to me, just actually, you know, when you... Basically, they telling you stuff because they did wonderful presentations with, you know, slideshows and everything, things that you may not necessarily ever known, even from books or whatever, you know, because these are the people who created it. These are the people who came up with the looks and the costumes and everything. So it's a sort of a balance of both, you know, just go to old favorites, brand new people, and then behind the scenes.
That's awesome. That's a lot of stuff. If you had to...
Yeah.
If you had to narrow it down, do you have like maybe three or four panels that were like your favorites from this year?
From this year, let's see. I enjoyed, well, because she is a personal favorite. Kate Mulgrew had a wonderful panel. But she generally does. That's sort of almost a given. You know, whichever convention you can catch her, you know, at and hear her speak, do so because she always does wonderful panels. The panels that the the last two Discovery panels were great. So that were the ones where the last one, I think, had Sonequa Martin-Green, Doug Jones, just hysterical, plain hysterical. So the bigger names with the cast, I suppose I would say, those were fascinating because I find it, you know, you can be a fan, not a fan. Maybe there are people who have not seen Discovery at all for whichever reason. But you have to respect the fact that these people have amazing respect to the franchise. And, you know, you don't actually have to go and explain something to them. They already get it. So it was just great to hear to see just how enthusiastic they are about Star Trek. You know, the fact that they get it, they understand it. Jason Isaacs blew my mind. This was not his first convention, but this was his very first Star Trek convention. And he just purely walked out without a host. And he did like a 45-minute dialogue basically about, with the fans, basically, you know, what he's doing, how he's doing it, took the questions from the fans. So for a very first sort of introductory panel, that was A+. That was probably one of the best ones I've ever seen for a big name. So I'd say that's probably the three that were the best. These are the ones that immediately jumped to my mind.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about between Kate Mulgrew and Jason Isaacs, two, you know, really just big personalities, strong personalities with, you know, Kate, of course, having a stage background, mm-hmm. you know, being a stage performer, you know, makes being up on stage, you know, just second nature to her.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, all the actors and I consider us as fans, as a fandom, very lucky. The fact that majority of main cast members and just not even just main cast members, just generally majority of the actors who are part of Star Trek, most of them have theater backgrounds, so they have that ability to present on the stage, to have that gravitas, so to speak. And of course, the captains do so hundredfold. I have seen in the past combined captains panels. So when you would have, you know, Shatner and Stewart and Mulgrew together on the stage, it's mind blowing. I mean, they could have just walked out and said jump, and you know, the entire you would have had 6,000 people in the main theater jump up. So it's powerful, absolutely powerful.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I'm kind of obligated to ask, were you in the room for the panel where Patrick Stewart came out?
Yes, and this was in all conventions that I've ever been to, I have never seen a moment like this anywhere. It just so happens that I've been lucky enough to move up to third row, so I was like literally right there. And what is fascinating is that they started to drop hints that something was about to happen, probably starting Wednesday morning. That's the first time I heard about it. And the host kept repeating, he's like, oh, make sure you stay after William Shatner's panel. Something's going to happen. And maybe because, again, I've been to enough conventions, my first thought was maybe this has something to do with another project of William Shatner. I mean, he's done all these wonderful documentaries over the last several years. Maybe he's filming something else now, so they need participation of the audience or something. So like, oh, okay, great, we'll see, we'll check it out. I actually had several photo ops, so I unfortunately missed most of his panel this year, so I maybe just saw the last 10 or 15 minutes of it. And then once I actually made it into the theater, I saw that there were cameras being set up. So like, well okay, maybe something else is going to happen. And you know, William Shatner finished his stuff, he walked off the stage. The side doors open and out comes out about 20 or so people with badges that say CBS on them. And that's when I realized that something really, really heavy was about to drop. And then, of course, Alex Gerstmann came out and he said, I would like the old friend to actually, you know, make the announcement. And out comes out Sir Patrick and the place just exploded. As I said, I have never seen anything like this. People were screaming and yelling and waving their hands. And, you know, it was basically every. I could have actually watched this simultaneously on I was holding my phone because people immediately pulled it out. A lot of people live streaming it or filming it, tweeting about it, posting about it. I mean, I actually tweeted and posted about it while as it was happening. So this was probably like a global thing because people probably somewhere in the middle of Australia probably heard about it as it happened. So mm-hmm. This was one of those, you know, where were you moments, most certainly.
Yeah, I was lucky that some people did record it on their phones, and somebody in one of the first couple of rows did. And so I got to watch it on YouTube like 20 minutes later.
Yeah. It was immediate. I mean, I suppose that's the nature of the beast. That's the that's the age that we live in now. I mean, it's not like something happens and then you have to read about it in the Star Trek magazine a month later. You know, right. This is amazing that we actually have the ability to, this thing happens and it's immediate. But it's just, it was mind blowing. I have never experienced anything like this. And it was just, first of all, I mean, the whole, the announcement and the fact that, you know, Patrick Stewart is in Vegas, and then seeing his reaction, that was also part of it, because you could see that he was incredibly touched by the reaction of the audience.
Yeah, that was definitely clear. And so you had mentioned earlier on that you had kind of gotten into Star Trek during the Deep Space Nine Voyager era. So I'm curious, mm-hmm. how do you feel about it? Patrick Stewart being, you know, from TNG, of course, how do you feel about him returning in his own show?
I'm excited. It's difficult to feel anything else, because I feel until we actually hear something more concrete, for now we just know that a wonderful actor, the one who's done amazing job for very many years, is back in the franchise. So that already for me bodes well, because Patrick Stewart has the deepest respect towards Trek. You know, he, as you may know from his interviews, you know, if somebody speaks poorly of it, he will not have it. So just from that, I doubt that he would go with something where he would feel this actually goes against what, you know, Trek is, who Picard is, etc. So for now, I'm just incredibly excited that this happened, that the announcement was made in Vegas, that I was there to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they will come up with. I really do.
Fantastic. Yeah, everyone I'm talking to seems excited about it. I'm waiting for somebody to say something else, but to spark maybe a different conversation.
It's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Right. I mean, even if you're not, you know, a Trekkie or a Trekker or anything like that, you know, you obviously, you know, he's had such a huge Shakespearean stage background, and he's, you know, of course, in the X-Men movies,
yeah,
film career, and, you know, so everybody knows who Sir Patrick is.
Oh, absolutely. And I am intrigued by this concept, what he mentioned. I mean, at this point, you know, it was said that they don't have anything as of yet. You know, there are no stories, there are no scripts. It's way too early for that. But the whole idea that, you know, obviously we see an older Picard, you know, one that has had all these experiences, and this is what I think they believe, they said it's going to be set roughly 20 years after Nemesis. So it's, I think that's a fascinating thing. First of all, I am a fan of that particular era. TNG era track is my track. So Voyager and TNG are my favorite. So I can't wait to see what they will come up. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe this will provide this wonderful balance for those people who are not willing, again, for whichever reason, to accept Discovery. Because you do have this new part with the Discovery, with the prequel, and at the same time, you will have those shorts that they're promising. And then finally, you have now this other thing that is set for post-Voyager. So mm-hmm. we'll see what's going to happen. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a Trekkie. You know, the 90s were considered the golden age for the franchise, but this is something different, you know.
Yeah.
CBS, their CEO has been talking about how the goal for CBS All Access is to have Trek year-round, and yeah. I mean, that's music to my ears. So.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, so we're getting a little close here on time, but are there any other experiences or events that you went through here at Star Trek Las Vegas that you would like to share with anybody who's listening in?
You know, it, just to repeat that, it basically was exciting to go back and meet with everybody that I already knew, and to make so many more new friends. And it's primarily just new friends. Well, we kind of sort of know each other online, at least by name, but, you know, now we actually have a chance to meet in person. So all the and I've already mentioned them, the landing party, the sunset party, those, the night of diversity, all those things that were fan organized, they fit now wonderfully along with all the convention events that Creation hosts. So it just, It's part of this experience, you know. For literally a week, you kind of get separated from real life, if you will. So it's just this kind of otherworldly experience, in the sense that, you know, I left on Monday and then I came back on Monday, and all of a sudden it's like, everything seems so plain, and I have to kind of find a way back into the routine where I have to check my emails and do my budgets at work and, you know, pay off my credit card. So it's an amazing experience. You know, you can't compare Star Trek Las Vegas to any other convention. It's unique in the way it's set up. It's unique in the way it's, you know, you do have 5 days. There aren't very many conventions that actually last that long. No. So, you know, those people who are considering going, even if you can make it just once, do it, because it's in the end, it's going to be worth it. You know, there will be something that will catch you, whether it's going to be cosplay or meeting guests. And Vegas in that regard is, again, unique. There's over 130 guests this year alone. And they've had over 100 guests consistently over the last 5 or 6 years. So there's going to be someone that you would like to meet in the photos and everything else. So it's a great convention.
Awesome. Well, that's high praise. And, you know, being that you've gone 9 years in a row, I mean, how bad could it be? So,
well, yeah, I always find something. I mean, Vegas is for much fuller for me as in terms of like the programming and everything else that I managed to do than any other convention, actually. Mm-hmm. Still is, you know, even after 9 years. So, but I wouldn't compare. I mean, I've had amazing experience at, you know, Wizard World conventions or something else, but Vegas is there in, you know, by itself in its class. There's nobody else. There is no other convention like it.
Awesome. Great. Well, Marina, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us about your experiences. We really appreciate that. If people wanted to talk to you or find you out in the social media, internet universe, how might people do that?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I am mostly on Facebook, and I'm there actually under my full name, but I actually consistently use the same handle throughout the media, Drakorex, Drakorex. So you can probably, I'm pretty sure you can locate me on Facebook through that as well. And that is my handle on Twitter and on Instagram. So realistically, Facebook is probably better. And I am part of multiple Star Trek groups, including the unofficial one, the official one. Basically, look it up, you know, any of the larger convention-based Star Trek groups, I'm probably going to be there and active. I'm not so often on Twitter, but it's probably easiest in terms of public contact. It's not a closed account. Anybody can just, you know, directly message me or just generally post at me, I suppose. I am barely on Instagram, so that one is pretty much useless in terms of contact.
Fair enough. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Marina. I'm sure we'll talk in the future and maybe have you on the show for a longer episode sometime.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Well, thank you. All right. So there you have it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed my interviews with Shannon, Becca, and Marina concerning Star Trek Las Vegas 2018. Like I said at the beginning of the show, Greg and I will be back next week to talk about our thoughts concerning the return of Jean-Luc Picard and Patrick Stewart's announcement from Star Trek Las Vegas. And yeah, so don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We have our own Twitter handle now, @RedShirtsPod, and you can talk to us on a regular basis out there. So please do that. We're part of the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find us at heroespodcasts.com or @HeroesPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can find me @TheStarTrekDude on Twitter, and you can also find me on other shows on the Heroes Podcast Network, specifically Screen Heroes, which is our flagship series covering TV and film. So please check that out. That would be a lot of fun to see you join us there, because you can chat with us live during the recordings of that show. And Greg is the_bittersteel on Twitter. So please go follow him and talk to him about all things Trek, among other nerdy things. And we will catch you guys next week. Make it so.